Blog Talk Radio.
Salvation and service, they happen all together. But when Paul was converted on that Damascus road, the first thing he asked was, Lord, what do you want me to do? And when Jesus called his disciples, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Therefore, the call of salvation and the call of service were married together in the master one sentence. For it's a shame before God to see how many people who call themselves Christians that don't have any enthusiasm. They never realize their salvation as a total commitment to Christ Jesus in terms of service. Whenever you're given a job to do, they go about it as though it was boring or uninteresting. Where it should be the most thrilling and fascinating thing in the world, especially if you're doing it in the name of Jesus. For no child of God should face their job without asking a few questions. Can God call them to this work? Is this what I'm doing? Is it a vocation? Is this the purpose of God for my life? And if it is, then it's not just a job, it's a ministry. And being a ministry, the monotonous is transformed into the momentous. Every day becomes a glorious adventure with Christ Jesus. You see, whatever he did, he did it with enthusiasm. Whether he was serving as a carpenter or carrying through his redemptive task on the way to Calvary, Jesus, he preached with passion. He worked so tirelessly that the disciples on one occasion marveled at the passion that Jesus worked for God. When he kicked the money changers out of the table, and the disciples looked at Jesus working, and they looked at the scriptures and said, "Reveal my house and keep me up." They were amazed that Jesus was passed. And that word "deal" is the same word that Paul uses in Titus, the second chapter, when he says, "Be zealous for good works." And with us to accept Jesus' desire that we might have the same zeal in our service to God. So often in Christian circles, we find three kinds of people. You got the workers, you got the laborers, then you got the pretenders, the actors. See, the workers, I love those. Because these are people who always have the sleeve for them. Always ready to do a real job for God. Always ready to give. They're at the task, they're at the post. They're, I don't care if it's raining, snowing, you name it, they're on the job. Doesn't make a difference if the work is hard or if the work is easy. You're going to depend on them to be faithful all the time. Then they've got the ladies. And the ladies, they are always exposed when something hard and something that needs to be done. You can tell the But if I ask them, they're late. Intentionally. They're going to come after the hard-working stuff. Then you have the pretenders, the actors. There are people who are full of enthusiasm when something special is going on. But then after that special occasion has transpired, there's nowhere to be found. My brothers and sisters, enthusiasm is a God-given quality in the Holy Ghost, and it's characteristic of all those whose attitude to life is one of commitment. So you have to have what's called enduring determination. Determination, not desire, controls our destiny. Many people have a desire to see things, but it gets them nowhere. What's needed is a determination to see them through. We find Jesus was characterized by this enduring determination. At the beginning of his ministry, even as a 12-year-old boy, he had a sense of vocation and call. When Mary and mother argued with him concerning his absence from her for 3 days, Jesus said, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" That's determination. And later on, Jesus declared, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. For the night is coming when no one can work." When his disciples reasoned with the man, Peter tried to prevent him from going to the cross. Luke tells us that he set his face determinedly to go to the roof. You see, if you got a lust in your mind, it's the aftertaste of true service. I must prepare myself to come to church on Sunday to serve. I must prepare myself on a daily basis to be a witness for the Lord. That dedicated service. Then when you move into the realm of dynamic service, Paul is telling us that you have to be serving in the spirit. You see, that word serving means boiling or teasing. And the whole idea behind the word serving is that where you allow the Holy Ghost to keep us passionate and dynamic in our service all the time. Fervency is expressed in the realm of the believer's spirit. You see, the Christian temperament is compared to water boiling and bubbling over a flame. You see, we must always be boiling for God. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through 16, we hear Jesus saying to the Laodicean church, "I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot, I've got to spit you out of my mouth." You see, Jesus wished that they were either cold in hostility and opposition or fervent or burning up in their love and service. See, this that's a important word to the church today, and it explains why we have a take or leave an attitude when it comes to service. See, we know of people who were once committed Christians and were on fire for the work of the Lord, but they allowed their Lord Jesus to cool by neglecting him and neglecting Christian fellowship and church. See, such lukewarm Christians are anemic and nauseated to Christ Jesus. And then you've got to deal with a dynamic service, the speech of the believer. In Acts 18 and 25, we read of that preacher named Apollos. And they said that he was fervent in the spirit when he spoke. And by him being fervent in the spirit when he spoke, no wonder he moved the people who heard him. Because it's a sure sign of lukewarmness. When lips are seldom open for prayer, praise, or testimony. But have you ever noticed that when you get a young convert to Christianity and they speak from their heart regarding their prayer or their testimony, I don't care how simple the language is, people move. They're moved by the fervency of their speech. And that's what the world is looking for today, and people who speak with sincerity and fervency. Now, you got folk who, let me make this clear, they lie with that. Amen, somebody. They lie and with so much passion, they'll make you believe a lie. Can you imagine if you're serving now and you allow that Holy Ghost to match up with your witness? Yeah. How more firm can your witness would be? Yeah. You see, once you get your speech together, you're able to move into what we call the devotion, serving the Lord. Pay. But you don't serve the Lord the way you want to serve. You have to serve him the way that he was practiced. Paul says, be fervent in your service of the Lord. And that word service conveys the idea of bond service or being a bond servant. Bond slave. For Paul was fond of calling himself a bond slave. The theologians believe that Paul took this word from the passage found in the 21st chapter of Exodus. See, when a Hebrew says, and served the master for 6 years. In the seventh year, he was allowed to go free. But if he had come to love his master and would not leave his master, they would schedule a sacred ceremony. And that bond servant would be brought before the judge is speaking to make his decision publicly known. Then he was led to the door of his master, and his earlobe was pierced with an awl as an indication that he was committed to his master. Jesus, our Savior, consider themselves aided by my servant. Not only were his ears open as we find in Psalm 46, but Jesus allowed his hands and his feet to be nailed to a cross because he delighted to be the Father's will, the pierced ear of the bond slave indicated devotedness and lowliness. In Exodus, we find that the slave, he shall serve. For the slave did whatever the master required of him, no matter how lowly the service was. You see, the true test of devotedness is doing the little things. Most of us jump at the opportunity to do something great and great. But Jesus is aware of the most lowly things we do for. The most condescending act our Lord ever performed outside of the cross was when he kneeled at the place to wash his disciples' feet. This made such an impression upon Peter that years later when Peter wrote his epistle, he mentioned that we need to gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Literally saying, gird up the loins of your mind with the towel of humility. See, washing feet was a slave job. It was lowly service. So the first characteristic of true servant is their willingness to do anything for the master. And then we're told in Exodus 21:5 that the servant loves his master. You see, nothing inspires service like love. Once you love somebody, you will do anything for them. And if you fall in love with Jesus, you never have to be put into service. You can't help but to serve. When we get to that place where devoted service is as natural as breathing, we do it out of our love for Christ Jesus. And then we're told in Exodus 21:5 that we have to have the loyal service. The text says that the servant will not go free. You see, many individuals start a job with enthusiasm, but they never see it through because their loyalty breaks down. But praise be to God, Jesus never forces us to give our lives to him, but he expects us to do it voluntarily because we love him. Don't you love Jesus? And you're kind of doing anything for Jesus because you love him. And the reason we love him is because he first loved us. And out of that love is more what we call loyalty. Loyalty and teamwork in the service of the church is a wonderful thing. The church, my brothers and sisters, is a team. And blessed community, we've been a team for 25 years now. And thank God for those individuals who are truly on the team, blessed community. Can I get a witness? We've been here 25 years, and the Lord has blessed this team. We're a team, and the seed is built for loyalty to one another. Because loyalty is fundamental to our Christian faith and service. And I pray that you will always be loyal to Christ Jesus, no matter what may come your way. And not only being loyal to Jesus, but you have to be loyal to your church, loyal to your pastor, and loyal to your fellow brothers and sisters in the church. And then, as I close, end this with what we call lasting service. And after this, we're told that the servant will serve his master forever. At the end of his life, Christ Jesus could say, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. That's saying a lot right there, because Jesus had a lot to do. Oh, yes, he did. We know how he had to travel 42 generations, born in a manger in Bethlehem. We know how he went about doing nothing but good, healing the sick. On occasions, he raised the dead. It's on record that he fed the hungry, uncurled with his lips, gave sight to the blind. And not only did he do it in the biblical days, but he's still doing it today. But while he was here, he had the awesome responsibility of going to Calvary to die for your sins in mind. Do you know it? He went to Calvary on Friday and he died on Friday. And they buried him in a bowel too. So he was bowled because he only needed it for 3 days. Stayed there Friday and stayed there Saturday. But Thursday, coming over, he got up with all power to put heaven and earth in his hand. And then Jesus, with all that he had to do, he said, it is finished. And then when we look at Paul and his letter to Timothy, Paul said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's where I want to be. I want to be able that when I leave here, I can tell somebody that I completed the course. Each and every one of us, we have a course to fulfill. And I don't know about you, but this course has been so hard that I must get a passing grade. Amen. I couldn't withdraw from the course. I had to keep on in the course. And this course, my brothers and sisters, here, blessed community, has been going on for 25 years. But let me tell you, I feel today, I'm feeling better today than I did 25 years ago. 25 years ago, I didn't know what God was going to do, but I can tell you that God is all right. And he brought us every step of the way. And I want to get to the point where I can tell the master, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith, my faith. Your faith needs to be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. And it's by faith that we serve Jesus. We serve him when we're tired. We're serving when we're sick. We're serving when everybody is getting on our nerves. We're serving him when the sun is shining. Serving him in the rain, in the snow, and through the storm. What it takes to serve Jesus, because in your service, God makes a way. Tell your neighbor, he'll make a way. If you serve him, and if you serve him and be dedicated to service, God will make a way. Because I know I got two or three witnesses who can testify to this truth. God will pay a bill with your service. God will send a healing when you serve. God will bless you with peace of mind when you serve him. There's nothing that you can't have when your service is dedicated to Christ Jesus. And we serve him because we love him. And we love him because we first love us. Tell your neighbor, it pays to serve the Lord. And when you look at all that Jesus has done for you and is doing for you, why won't you serve? Amen. How hard is it to go out and tell somebody the goodness and the good things that God has done for you, to you, and through you? Can I get a witness? Amen. How good the Lord is. The doors of the church are open. It pays to serve the Lord. And I leave it to the hymn. Keep that